The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Happy New Year. It's Sunday, and we hope that you are able to crawl out of bed from the night before and join us on We the People Radio.
We the People have good self-control, however, so We the People would just be hanging out drinking coffee like any other day.
That's right. We were talking about all the Irish people in here and how that that might require whiskey, but not this morning.
Well, it might, but we'd still be crawling right out of bed. It just really shouldn't impede our ability to get on with 2012 and make all those big changes we have in mind in November. We got to gear up.
Starting at the very top.
You can tell from the sound of our voices, we were amazingly well-behaved last night.
Amazingly. Yes. It's almost like it's afternoon.
Okay, so let's tell the truth. This show is pre-recorded, and November.
It's still November.
I know. But anyway, Happy New Year. You're joining Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, your hosts, and our magical magician of music, Bob Martin.
Hi there.
We have special guests in the studio today.
That's a hyphenated name, by the way.
Hey, so it's 2012, and in a perfect world, we would have a different administration. But I digress.
The perfect world doesn't come until November, though.
Yeah, I know.
We're working on it.
So hit the ground running, folks. It's the first of 2012, and it's going to be a crazy, crazy year.
We have a great New Year's resolution for you if you haven't gotten involved in it yet. We're going to get rid of some agencies. Woohoo! Another dream come true, just in case Santa didn't bring you what you want. You can send the EPA packing.
Yeah, because you think that if you just re-elect different people, all will be well. Guess what? That has nothing to do with the bureaucracy and the regulations and the rules and getting buried and buried and buried underneath mounds and mounds of paperwork and blah, blah, blah. I mean, just imagine a world without. Imagine stepping outside your door every day and knowing that you haven't committed two felonies.
Well, that's confusing. You're going to take us all down the drain right here, right at the very beginning of the whole darn year?
How would you like to embrace the world without wondering if you are breaking a rule or somebody's going to be knocking on your door and telling you that you need to turn your hose off or, you know, you got to plant a certain way, or you have to have a certain kind of roof, or you got to have a certain kind of air conditioner, or you
have to have sprinklers because the UN wants them.
Yeah, or the wood smoke is polluting the air. I mean, it goes on and on. So
I'm planning on being polluting by the time the show airs, by the way.
Yeah, good.
I'll be doing a tremendous amount of polluting during the... And you know, if you think about it, you know, what does Santa put in the bad kids' stocking?
Coal.
Oh, yeah. Carbon credits, huh?
Big time. Oh, are they going to have to rewrite history now?
Mm-hmm.
Santa's history?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I saw some chocolate bars the other day. They were coal-shaped, and they had black wrappers on them, and they were for bad kids. And I was like, wow, you know what? This is going to be one of those, hey, remember when?
Yeah.
No kids kidding. In the future will be like, what's coal?
No kidding.
It's not even fun.
Hey, so we've got Oscar Braun and Joe Shaughnessy with us this morning, and they have managed to get an initiative on the ballot for 2012, if we can get enough signatures, approved by the Secretary of State, and it's all about the California Bill of Rights, because California is leading the nation in eradicating all of your personal privacy space and God-given rights. So these guys are here to fight the battle.
Couldn't have said it better.
All right, you're going to have to scrunch up just a little bit there. Get up close and personal with your microphone.
Yes.
How's that?
That's excellent.
The microphone is your best friend for the next 2 hours.
Just to wave it around a lot because they, you know, get all loose in their little dealy bob. Elizabeth has this tendency to pull them out of their sockets. So don't let her touch it at all.
Hopefully that will come in 2012 with a webcam.
Oh, yeah.
So you can be entertained by our physical comedy while we're trying to keep a straight face in the studio.
Exactly. And for people who want, we kind of skipped that part too, wethepeopleradio.us is the website where you can go to get all the info that we're going to talk about, web links and all that good stuff. You can also send the archive of this program to your friends after it airs. So by this afternoon around noon or one-ish, that should be on there. And you can forward this out to everybody you know, because you have until... when to get this initiative done. It's 150 days,
150
right?
days, which started on the 22nd. So I think it's April 17th of November.
Okay, nice.
So until April 17th, of 2012.
Perfect.
And we've gone to garner a minimum of 807,000 and a few more to qualify. Now, of course, that really means that we need 1.2 million.
Sure, yeah.
Because
to allow for flub-ups.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are a lot of flub-ups. And Joseph and I actually kicked off our, this is our second petition drive. We did one last year, and that was our rookie year. You know, we had a lot of flubs, but we learned a ton. And we got our greatest support down the Central Valley. And,
sure. All
we
the
actually,
Delta Smelt guys,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they're living the reality of the EPA.
Well, we had a superhero down there named Ray Appleton, who is with KMJ 580. And that's the big conservative talk radio, and Rush is on there, and Mark Levin, and what have you. And Joe contacted Ray in February, and the conversation went, well, gee, we're a couple of guys from Half Moon Bay, you know, just south of San Francisco on the coast, and we got this idea, and you know, my friend has written an initiative, and we're going to be sending it to the Attorney General anytime soon, and we'd like to come down and talk to you. And Ray said, well, who are you with? He said, well, we're with the California Watershed Posse. He said, well, with a name like that, you know, we got to have you down. So,
there's a posse in the name. That's right.
That's right. They loved it. And of course, everything.
The saddles and the guns are just implied.
There you go. And, but, you know, they've been enduring the water wars for quite a long, long time.
Sure.
And Ray has really been one of the great leaders and patriots down in the valley. So he had us down, and they gave us a full hour in February. And again, this was before literally we even got this into the hands of the Attorney General, who was at that time, of course, Jerry Brown.
Right.
So,
Jerry Brown's going to go, oh, goody,
yeah,
my favorite initiative.
They're back.
Oh, hold on. It's called the Eliminate, by the way, we've been talking about it like it's a mystery item. It's because we are all sitting here looking at it. It's called the Elimination of Environmental Protection Laws and Agencies.
Well, this is this year's version.
That's the name
title and
this
summary.
Year.
Last
what was it last year?
Well, it was even more convoluted. I honestly, without exaggeration, I had to read it about a half a dozen times to see what the heck it was called.
Great. You know?
And it was, the title and summary was so convoluted and so negative that you couldn't make heads or tail out of it, which kind of lent to the problem because people say, well, what's this about? And, you know, being a rookie, I said, well, you know, well, the Attorney General says it's about, you know, the destruction of life as we know it on the planet Earth, and it's going to, you know, kill all those wonderful things that, that I've legislated over the years, and yada, 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 yada. And having said that, we got over 60,000 signatures just from the Central Valley alone.
Yeah, great.
A lot of football. But we learned a lot, and, yeah. And what we really learned, I think, that was most valuable to us is just exactly how our government at the highest level, I mean, just think of the irony here, that the then Attorney General Brown was the one that was doing the title and summary, and he released it literally the day after he announced that he was going, in fact, run for governor for the third term. And I was born in 1943, so I have vivid memories, and I was in a small business back in the 70s when Governor Moonbeam, you know, took the helm, not but for one, but, you know, two terms. And so I just, there wasn't a way in a gazillion years that he could possibly be reelected, you know. So,
yeah, that'll never happen.
Yeah, and, you know, and going up against, you know, somebody like Meg Whitman, I mean, give me a break. This is not going to happen. Anyway.
Hey, so why are you
But here we are.
And you're from Half Moon Bay, and why are you guys in this fight?
Okay.
I always wonder what brings anybody to the point where they will commit what they have to do to get an initiative on a ballot. That's a big job.
It is a big job, and but at the same time, I tell you, it is for me been one of the most exciting adventures I've ever been on. And I'll give you a little background. I was born in San Francisco in 1943. My dad was a welder in the shipyards. And my mom at that time was a part-time Rosie the Riveter and also
cool.
A mommy of three. And in 48, we moved down to the peninsula to Redwood City, and we had a small little farm down there where we had we raised rabbits and chickens, Rhode Island Reds. I mean, I say hundreds and hundreds of Rhode Island Reds and hundreds of rabbits. and a horse and a half acre of a victory garden, which is, you know, a vintage leftover from the war, and pretty self-sustainable, but really pretty stereotypical working class post-war family. And and then in the 50s, mid-50s, about 56, 57, we moved to Palo Alto. And I went to a parochial high school that was just opening up then in Mountain View called St. Francis, which is a very well-known school at that time. Anyway, we went in, and from there went on to college, Foothill College, and then San Jose State, and finally ran out of money and time and didn't finish getting my degree in business and finance, but after 3 years, went out into the marketplace, so about 1963, and started a business in the restaurant business.
Okay.
And after the break, I'll tell you what happened after that.
And what brought you to where we are today.
And what brought was where we were today.
Okay. And while we're on break, we're gonna force Joe to talk. And then we'll get them all limbered up, and then we'll force them to talk when we come back. Hey, you're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
I'm on a mission. I got a call. I'm on a hit every rock and little honky tonk bar. And the way I'm thinking, it ought to be against the law. Gonna see what kind of trouble I can find. I'm on a head-on collision.
Yes, I think Aaron and I and Bob and our guests today, we're all old enough that we can actually look back and say we knew America when we were free. I remember when. So we're back to We the People Radio. Check us out at wethepeopleradio.us. We have a media page with all the information about our guests today and all of our previous shows archived. So we'll cut back to the chase. We're with Joe Shaughnessy and Oscar Braun, and they have the California Bill of Rights that they are going to try to get on the November ballot. So, Oscar, you were telling us a little personal history about what battles you went through that brought you to this point that you would try to get this initiative on the ballot. So continue.
Well, I'll pick it up. I think before the break, I was just getting into going into business. And
you were in the restaurant business.
We were in the restaurant mm-hmm. business. I had a little Hofbräu right across the street from Stanford Stadium.
Nice.
Out in El Camino in Stanford.
I know right where that is.
Boulevard. Anyway, I was there. Wonderful experience for 6.5 years. And then in 1970, I got recruited from a friend of mine to go to work for an orthodontic appliance company. Called Unitech. And I got hired on, and they were just initiating a special program where they were going to teach 6 of us across the nation every aspect of dentistry and all the specialties they were. We were going to be the super team. So did that, was extremely successful, as the company was extremely successful. And 2 years into the job with this Unitech, I was pirated away by a startup called A Company, and was a doctor that was forming his own company. And I went on as a general manager, and the company just exploded, and it just had spectacular product line, yada, yada, yada. And we went through a series of acquisitions over the years, and we were acquired by Johnson & Johnson. And in the mid-70s, when Johnson & Johnson took over, but I was offered something that was totally unique and rare in the United States, and that was to be a contract employee. And I was the only contract employee in the North America with Johnson & Johnson out of 144,000 employees. So it's a rare breed. And I was also just paid straight on commission. And I was given a region that covered the 13 western states and then 6.5 of the states. So I traveled not only in the United States, Western region, but throughout the United States, Canada, Europe, training a sales team. And in 1990, J&J wanted to end my agreement and retire me out and put me on as a consultant to their board of directors in New Brunswick, which I agreed to do. And just a year before that, I had purchased this undeveloped ranch in Half Moon Bay. And my brother had been teaching in Half Moon Bay at the high school, industrial arts and AP history, since, I believe, 1965. And he had found this beautiful piece of raw property that was on the first ridgeline overlooking the city of Half Moon Bay and, of course, the Pacific. And
the American dream.
It is the American dream, and it had been ours since.
Because that's a beautiful area.
That had been our dream since childhood, literally, ever since we moved down to Redwood City and we experienced that country living. So it couldn't have come at a more perfect time. My duties or my time commitments to Johnson & Johnson were, frankly, limited as a consultant versus a full-time manager. Mm-hmm. And so I went about to develop this property. And we have moved from, or would be moving from Palo Alto, which is in Santa Clara mm-hmm. County, to San Mateo County. It's a different county, and I didn't realize that I was going to go from a full-blooded Californian American citizen to a stepchild in which, you know, I'm moving into the People's Republic of San Mateo.
Wow.
So
even back then, huh?
Yeah, oh, very much so back then. And in 1980, San Mateo County passed the first local coastal program, which was the first county in the state to come up with a local development plan under the Coastal Act. And which is a very restrictive, and it's known even to this day as the most restrictive county in the state regarding the coastal zone, and we have the largest coastal zone. Most coastal zones, like in Southern California, is a mile deep. In San Mateo County, it is 5 miles deep.
Whoa.
So it takes in about 220 square miles, or about 75% of San Mateo County.
There's a lot of deep stuff in San Mateo County.
Yeah.
Joe speaks.
San Mateo County.
Simple but to the point. Read between the lines.
You got to have a wingman. But we can say crap on this show, by the way.
Oh, crap. I'm glad I can say it.
Yeah, we can. We can say crap. We figured that out a couple of shows ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
I asked Bob, can we say crap on the air? And he said, well, you just did.
No, the voice came out.
We've got to go from crap back to Oscar's water story, though.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Got all carried away.
We like to interject a little humor in there once in a while.
We just like to say crap. Just admit it, Elizabeth. Don't try to don't make stuff up. Don't lie to the nice people.
My brother and I set about to get development permits, coastal development
now,
permits.
How much land did you have on this ranch?
I purchased 90 acres, mm-hmm. and my brother had acquired an adjoining 2 acres.
Okay.
And so we merged the two. We did a lot line adjustment, so he has 20, I believe, today. And I've got 70, 72, something like that. And that's as a crow flies. Actually, because of the topography, there's probably still more than 100 acres.
Mm-hmm.
But we are surrounded, as we speak today, which was totally different at the time in which we acquired the property, by about 40,000 acres of open space and parks.
Oh,
all the land! All the land that was around us prior to that was privately held.
Oh, and,
now you're the one piece they want.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Exactly
you're the
right.
Missing
so
link.
That's exactly what they refer to.
Yep.
I mean, it's spot on. And before I get into this story, because which goes quickly, is that my brother and I joined the Carpenters Union when we were 12 and 13 years old. And my dad was a carpenter, so we were card-carrying union apprentices when we were just starting high school. Actually, I was still in junior high. And by the time we graduated from high school, we were full-blown journeymen and making great money, but very, very good at what we did. And the last job that we did, by the way, was we put up all the internal walls in the San Rafael Civic Center, which is a famous building, if for no other reason, that it was the last building that Frank Lloyd Wright designed while he was still alive.
Okay.
So the old man even came
wow,
by
that's
to
neat.
See these two young punk kids, and we had a crew of about 27 putting up these walls. Anyway, back to the coast. So my brother's school teaching, teaching took up virtually all his time. And so I said, not to worry, I'm on this. I will go through this planning process. How difficult could it be? So went down and see what the paperwork was like. And he said, well, you know, you'll need an attorney to assist you on this, and you need this, and you need that, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And because we're in the coastal zone, and we have a local coastal program. So we filled out the applications. We did what we were supposed to do. And then they said, well, it's going to be a hearing before the Planning Commission. I said, well, that makes sense.
And what was it that you wanted to do with your property?
We wanted to build our homes.
Nothing extravagant.
And a small horse ranch.
Okay.
And return it to agriculture. It had been cultivated for nearly a century. And our parcels are the uppermost parcels of what is known as the Johnston Ranch, which is a historical Spanish land grant property, very well known in Half Moon Bay, and they have this salt. I'm blowing the name,
but Salt Box House.
Salt Box House there that was brought around the horn from New England by J.L. Johnston, the original, back in the 1850s. Anyway, so we overlook the remaining portion. At the time we purchased, that was owned by Westinghouse, who had developed Ocean Colony, which is the gated community in Half Moon Bay. But that was between us and town. So there's 1,000 acres altogether. So just envision this uppermost parcel of 100 acres. That was us. And so it's a ribbon. It's about 1,000 yards wide and a mile and a quarter long. Okay. So we invited the entire Planning Commission up for a barbecue on the top of the property. The property starts at 200 feet and goes up to 830 feet. And they came up, had a great time, and we asked them to pick the location of the house. And which, you know, they said, well, we like this one over here. And we had all the neighbors within a mile radius come to the barbecue, and they all voted on it too, and they all loved the same spot.
Now, initially, this seems like a pretty good idea.
Yeah, well, I thought it was brilliant.
This seems like a pretty good idea.
How could you go wrong?
Exactly.
You know, okay, you pick it. So,
which door did you open wide there, Oscar?
They passed it unanimously.
Let those barbecue guys have a house.
And then a week later, we get a notice that the Sierra Club and the Committee for Green Foothills had appealed our application because we would soon to be the blight on the bluffs overlooking the coastal.
Although you should be able to get redevelopment funds because those are supposed to be for blight, right?
This was in the land before redevelopment.
I think he offended a vegan with a barbecue.
You're probably right.
So
you were barbecuing something besides bell peppers, huh?
I can assure you that that was all, and this is 1990, okay? And from that point on, we were the ones in which they developed all these regulations in which all future development in what is known as the rural lands
of
the coast.
So everyone can blame you.
And they can lay it right here.
Wow, if you dig way down.
You know, when you come from a criminal family like I did in our background and you're into
is that the union thing or what are we talking about?
You know, building a host on the coast.
Home living.
Overlooking the parking lot at the soon-to-be state park to the east of us that we joined. So
brutal.
I fess up. This is the truth about the background there.
All right, I want everybody to ponder that. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes here at We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. All right.
Power to the People, otherwise known as We the People Radio at wethepeopleradio.us.
Not to be confused with Power to the Other People, the Carpenters Union or whoever you were palling around with before. And I think they're occupying something now, actually. They're probably not listening to the radio because I don't think they have radios there.
They're intense. So I just had to point out that...
you think they'll be gone by the time the show airs?
I doubt it.
My mother's still going to be bitter about it. Because she likes camping in a tent, you know, just not on the city sidewalk. She's just so irritated about that.
Hey, so Aaron pointed out that my little Christmas bracelet that was sweet little gift from my mother, I brought reindeer with me.
I'm like, hey, Carmen Miranda, your hat's making a lot of noise.
It's still holiday around here. Okay. So if you hear the little...
That means Elizabeth's hand is getting close to the microphone, which is usually where she goes.
It's not Rudolph, trust me. So, Oscar.
You never know.
You were, we were talking about.
We like to be the webcam, see?
Yeah.
People can just listen and try to figure it out themselves, or we could narrate it for them.
Yeah, yeah. We'll fill in the blanks for you.
It's a lot more fun if we narrate it for them.
We'll describe what that big clunk was that you just heard. So, Oscar, your home and the Sierra Club. Please continue.
Okay.
Yeah, talk to us about the scrapbook. You always learn all this good stuff
and the abomination.
Yeah.
That is your home.
Yeah. Well, the scrapbook was just envisioned in my wife's mind at the time. And again, the setting, this is about 1990. I'll just pick it up from there. We acquired the property in 1989. And it took us about 4 or 5 months, which today's is considered a bullet, you know, I mean, just rocket through the, you know, the process, the permitting process. So we got the thumbs up and a unanimous approval by the Planning Commission.
And you had given you'd had a barbecue.
We had a barbecue.
And we all decided off air that you pissed off the Sierra Club because you barbecued something that
big time
fell along the...
Well, maybe because they didn't get an invitation.
It was covered under PETA.
But what we had, let me tell you, because of my brother's tenure, I mean, my brother had been teaching there for 25 years at this time. And at the base of our property, we were actually landlocked. We fronted a road called Higgins Canyon Road, but we actually didn't front it. There was a 10-acre parcel there that belonged to the mayor or former mayor of Half Moon Bay, and his name was Albert Fernandes, but he was known as Kitty Fernandes, his old Portuguese family, and quite the well-known character. And he had farmed for years back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, what have you there. And he was still living there. And he was born on the ranch that we adjoin, which is known as the Mills Ranch. It's now a Burry Murray Ranch State Park. Anyway, Kitty had a real affection for my brother, who taught the local high school, and also had brought his son on to work at the high school just a few years prior to that. So anyway, my brother finds this dream property. We acquire it. And Kitty says, well, you're going to have to take it downtown. I'm going to introduce you to Dolores. And who's Dolores? Well, Dolores was Dolores Mullins, and she was known literally as the godmother of the coast. And she was the head of the growers. And this was a woman in her late 60s at the time, and just magnificent hair of gray hair, but at one time it had been just fiery red. And the growers building...
Godmother Red.
It was that Godmother Red. And the growers building is now a Citrullo's restaurant. But that's where, you know, they had a loading dock. That's where all the artichokes and the Brussels sprouts would come. And, you know, the old guard, and what is considered the old guard today, all the farmer families that had been there for many generations, that was the power seat. And Kitty was not only the mayor, but he was the first mayor of Half Moon Bay when it was incorporated in the mid-60s. So about the time my brother was starting the high school, the town became a city. And our home is in the rural lands. I mean, it's just about 100 feet from Main Street, Half Moon Bay, if you're looking east, that becomes unincorporated rural lands of San Mateo County. So that's the setting. Anyway, he says, you need to meet Dolores. Mm. So we take the down to Dolores, And it was like out of an old Bogart movie, really. You go in there, and the windows that hadn't been washed in 40 years, you know, and they're stacking with crates and receipts and everything. And she's behind this desk, and she was smoking.
And then of course, she was
smoking away. And you got a real deep, raspy voice, you know, and the most magnificent blue, sparkling eyes. I mean, she's just, like I say, a character out of a movie. Your boy, sit there. I'm on the phone right now. But you sit right there. Anyway, so she gets off the phone, and Kitty introduces her, and he says, These are the boys. This is Richard. He's over at the school with Bobby, his son, and Oscar here. He's coming over, and they're going to move in that right next door to me. And she says, "Well, thank you, Kitty, and I'll take good care of them." So she says, "Well, there's going to be a series of hearings. They're going to put you boys through a lot. Trust me, they're going to put you boys through a lot. But we got your back, and we got your front. In fact, you got it covered. Don't you worry." So he says, "You come back here next month, and I'll make some calls the day before the hearing before the board of supervisors, because they're going to approve this thing." So, sure enough, we went back the day before, and even with the guidance that you gave us and the words that we can say crap on the show here.
Yeah, yeah. Feel free.
I wasn't prepared for doors, but I was just totally... enthralled with this woman. So she says, before she makes a call, she says, "Now, which one of you are going to be talking before the board?" And I said, "Well, that would be me, Dolores." And she said, "Well, you'll do fine. You'll do fine. Good-looking boy. Just wear something just like you're wearing. That's good. That's good. Not to worry." So she picks up the phone, and she calls the chair of the board of supervisors. And at that time, it was, I believe, Anna Eshoo, who is now Assemblywoman Eshoo. And so it's a ring-a-ding-ding. And, "Hi, this is Dolores. Is Anna in?" And a few seconds later, and of course, I can only hear what Dolores saying. I can't hear what Anna's saying. And she had one of the old dial-ups there. It was, got to be 40 years old if it was a day. And she says, "This is Anna, this is Dolores. Now, my boys are coming before you guys tomorrow. Richard and Oscar Braun. I don't give a crap."
Yeah, there you go.
No. Look it. You're going to say yes. You understand? Thank you, dear. And she hangs up.
Wow. He needs to do radio theater, don't you think?
Yeah, totally.
Hey, there's a show
on him walking along,
Well, I just say, I felt like I was at a Bogart movie.
Cool. Yeah.
So she goes down the list. Of course, there's five on the board. And, she leaves two a message, and the other she talks to. But, I mean, none of the conversations exceeded 30 seconds. And, she was considered the godmother, not just the coast, but in the county. She was the strongest woman in the county. And it was the Growers Association, or it was specifically Dolores, that started what is now famous, the Half Moon Bay Pumpkin Festival, where we have once a year for, over the weekend, about 350,000 of our closest friends come over and clutter our coast. Maybe.
So basically, she intervened for you. The Board of Supervisors approved your development plans. So fast forwarding, the Sierra Club got wind of this?
Well, no.
No.
The Sierra Club got involved about 3 months earlier. And after the Planning Commission had approved it, and they're saying, you would normally go right to the permit process unless they appealed. Mm-hmm. And if they appealed it, they appeal it to the Board of Supervisors. And then if the Board of Supervisors approved it, they have the option of appealing it again to the Coastal Commission. Now, the thing about being appealed to the Coastal Commission sets the docket, okay? So mm-hmm. You could actually have grandchildren. Before you ever get there.
Before you get on the docket.
Now, just to give you a sense, the local coastal program regarding the rural lands allows the county to build 35 houses a year in this 220 acre square miles. Never since 1980 have there ever been more than three built in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
And in starting the year, our home was the 67th. And 68th homes built there. We have yet to hit 100.
Oh,
as we speak here today. Okay.
And this was from when? 60-something? 1960-something?
This is in 1991 now.
So right, but I mean, you were the 60-something.
Oh, we're the 67th house built in the rural lands since the Coastal Act went in to San Mateo, which was 1980.
In 1980, okay.
Okay.
So if somebody really wants to live there, you're just going to have to wait until somebody gives up their house.
No one can live there.
It's like rent control.
Yeah. You know, you have to be among mega wealthy, Frankie, to live there. And that's what, you know, all these dot-coms.
Wow.
What the Sierra Club did is that they started saying, well, they have to give us 10 different locations. We don't like the ones that the Planning Commission does, you know. So we had to hire an architect and do a what is known as a storyboard. It showed, photograph our entire property from Highway 1, a scenic quarter, and have different 10 locations. Plus, each location requires septic tests and this and that.
Oh, sure.
My brother went bankrupt in the process, literally.
Oh, wow.
He had saved up for over 25 years to build his home. And by the time we got done with hiring attorneys and this and that and the other, we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he wasn't able to move forward after we were successful to get our permits, coastal development permit. But they set all the regulations, literally, that all those after us that would come in, not only in the rural lands, but even in the unincorporated, what is known as urban. So we went before the supervisors. And there was actually three hearings, and in which they kept on making more and more demands. And it's too long a story to tell you all the things that we did, but we had a fabulous team of consultants working with us. And the Sierra Club were making their final presentation, and they were saying that, well, you know, we said that we would put the house anywhere of any of the 10 locations, with the exception of A1, because A1 was unsafe. It was a slide plane there, and it was starting to be known as the Briar Patch. The Bronze will agree to anything but the Briar Patch. So the Sierra Club made their final presentation, and Mary Hobbs was the woman that made the presentation, and she's at the podium, and she said, you know, the Sierra Club will agree, and we draw our appeal, along with the other appellants, which was State Parks, were against us, and all these other organizations, if it's done in A1. And as I like to tell a story, only because it's accurate, it's on videotape, before her little hiney, you know, returned to her chair, I stood up from the audience and said, we accept. And they knew they'd been had.
Yeah, because you picked the best location and told them pick everything but that.
That's right. You know, so, you
I know that story. That's Briar Rabbit.
On my deathbed, I'll go there.
Exactly.
Know,
yeah. Very
but
good.
But it was the one that our engineers picked, and it was beautiful. It's in a saddle. You cannot see it from Highway 1.
Mm.
Anyway, but so that was
sweet.
That was
yep, sly guy.
The beginning of the war.
That was your introduction to Rural Lands 101. Welcome to Agency Abuse, Overreach, and, and Dolores.
And being penalized for wanting to do something with your very own property.
Yeah. Exactly. Unless you have Dolores in your back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Let me see if I got this right. You want to build your home and your house? Is how big?
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a house. That
you
big.
What? You own property?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Red flag.
All righty, we're going to come back with you in 2 minutes. Grab some coffee. We will return here at We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
We were born
Yes, imagine, how did we survive childhood without the government stepping in and saying, hi, we're here to help you.
We only wore seatbelts. We traveled across the country, 5 kids, 2 parents, in a van. We did sometimes 9,000 miles in the summer. The only time we wore seatbelts was when it was dark and raining, because that was the only time you could have an accident, I guess. And we're all still alive.
And we rode our bikes without helmets, and we're here to talk about it.
Yeah.
Hey, so Oscar, continuing on with your story about your manipulation of the agencies, and you're a sly guy with that little trick you pulled on them.
Well, rare patch. Anywhere but there, brother, you know. So this is probably the first quarter of 1991 when we finally go through all these hearings. And we are very much the celebrity family in San Mateo County. I mean, it's in all the papers and everything. They just love these coastal wars. And so we were off. And I was the owner builder. My brother was not able to move forward with his home because he had it designed and everything, but he just literally had run out of money. And he waited until, I think it was 2007 before he was actually able to actually build his home. And here's the real irony. He moved into it in 2009, I believe, which was the same year that he retired after 38 years. So my brother commuted from Palo Alto, where he had a home, and then Mountain View. He lived with my parents for the last years of their life, for 38 years.
And now how far is he from the school where he taught?
A mile.
Oh,
maybe a mile and a half, yeah.
Dang.
So that's something that'll stay with us. And, it's just, it was so long. You know?
So that's basically what brought you to this point and why you decided to fight back.
That's correct. But, I really thought I was victorious.
Yeah.
At that point. Well, we moved in. We built a beautiful home. It's a big Spanish hacienda. And we've had a lot of animals over the year. At one point we had 7 horses, and we're down to 3 now. 2 wells on the property. One had been there since the early 50s. It was a big agricultural well that produced about 35 gallons a minute when we acquired the property. And we were required to put in a special residential well. You see, in San Mateo County, you have not a water well. You have a residential well, which you need a special permit, and you have to get in line because they only allow so many residential
wells. Of course.
And then you have agricultural wells, which cost you $100, and you can get it over the quarter. But, you can't use agricultural wells for your residence.
Because they pump agricultural water.
That's right.
And that's different than water you would actually drink.
You understand. Now,
exactly.
You see, living out here in the boondocks, understand
that
there's 2 types of water.
Yeah.
And
we just look stupid.
That's exactly. So
it's like red diesel and regular diesel.
So yeah, comes around 1994, and there's 3 things that has had the greatest impact in San Mateo County on the coast. And these were the 3 things were. The San Francisco Public Utilities Commission had approved to bring water over Highway 92 to the coastal zone, to Half Moon Bay specifically, from the Hetch Hetchy system. You see, they were on well water, aquifer water, groundwater there in Half Moon Bay, as we are in the rural lands. In the rural lands, by the way, under the local coastal program, those of us in the rural lands are by statute forbidden to use the Coastside County Water District. We can't hook up to the main central system. Anyway, so that was a big deal because that would make sure that Half Moon Bay and as the coast would develop, that it would they would have water there in abundance. The second thing that transpired is that the Sierra Club and the same organizations that had done this appeal of our ranch, the Committee for Green Foothills, wrote up an initiative. It was a county initiative, and this was the Coastal Protection Initiative of 1994. What this did was to it was a list of restrictions that would, you know, fill a telephone book. But the primary goal, in which they state right in the thing, was to stop the threat of water coming to the coast, because obviously water
would meet up with other water.
That's right. Well, water
and people would be able to drink it, which means they could
water.
Live there.
That's right. Water equals
flush toilets.
Water. Joe, you said toilets. We can't say toilets. Only crap.
That's right. And water equals development.
You're a quick learner, Joe.
Water equals development.
Mm-hmm.
Water means that you could have more sewer hookups. Right?
Yeah.
And
for your
water crap. Means that you can put out fires. So there are two things. In fact, I'll show you a copy
all
after
those
the
human
show.
Things.
There are two things that, you know, they wanted to stop growth. So there was the threat of water and growth. And also they wanted to save the taxpayers of San Mateo County all the unnecessary money.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm not. I will show you before I leave today, because it's over there. Of course, your listeners can't see it. But I'll actually show you the initiative, where they say they're going to save the taxpayers money for, you know, having all that unnecessary fire protection and sheriffs, you know, all that stuff in that. Remote coastal lands, you know.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about those remote. I mean, you realize that there's 6 miles between San Mateo and Half Moon Bay.
You mean that those remote coastal lands that just had their fees raised for special fire concerns, special fire districts, Oscar?
That would be the one. The governor.
Yes, and if you read that one very closely, the money is not actually used to save your home.
That's right.
Shocking again.
Well, that
we have fallen into the depths of cynicism here.
You were referring to the $1 billion tax that Governor Brown signed months ago for the wildland urban interface.
It's a fee. It's a fine. It's not a tax.
No, it's not a tax or a fee, because if it was a tax or a fee, Prop 26 would have said they needed a two-thirds majority.
Exactly.
It's an assessment. There you go, an assessment.
It's a secret money grab. Oh, no, that's not it.
So, anyway, there was going to be another series going on for a year or two of this initiative being processed. They decided not to put it before the voters, even though they got qualified it. It was going to go through the Planning Commission.
Of course, because if you put it before the voters, actual people might actually think it through.
And they might find out about it, ruin everything.
I got a call from the godmother, and she says, Oscar,
Dolores.
You come see me, because I want you to run for supervisor. I said, I don't want to run for supervisor.
You're like, no, you don't understand.
I want to build my ranch. I want to enjoy life. And she says, well, then you've got to take over and lead the charge.
So that makes you the godfather?
That makes me, I guess, the godfather junior. Yeah, yeah. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I like that. And I formed the Coastal Family Alliance. And also, there was a homeowners association, Higgins Canyon Homeowners Association, and I became their secretary. Anyway, I was the mouthpiece for the Homeowners Coastal Families Alliance, but also for the Women's Farm Contingency, the Farm Bureau, what have you, all the growers. And all these folks were literally in their mid-80s at this time, the leadership. And they wanted a young voice. And at that time, I was in my early 50s. So I took it on, and we went to war. I didn't realize we were going to war, but we went to war.
Isn't it funny when you go to war? This kind of war, you just don't see it coming.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be back with you. Grab a cup of coffee. We'll see you in 5 minutes after the news here on We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
It gets so hard sometimes to understand. This vicious circle's getting out of hand. Don't need an extra eye to see that the fire spreads the faster in the breeze. And I don't want to go on to you like that. Don't want to be a feather in your
New Year. You you are joining the second hour of We the People Radio. We're at KCNR 1460. Jump on our website at wethepeopleradio.us. You'll find our media page with everything about today's guests and archived shows from the past. And, you know, before we go any further, I forgot that if you have program ideas, we really love to hear from you. You can contact Aaron at wethepeopleradio.us. And if you want to give us money, you can contact me.
You should really work on giving us money.
Yeah, we're always open to sponsors. Yes, and not actually money to Aaron and I, but if you love what we do and want to sponsor our show, you contact me, Elizabeth, at wethepeopleradio.us. And then if you want us to come on the road and do our show live... That was Oscar's idea.
Oscar's like, you guys ought to go on the road.
We'll talk.
Then
we'll talk on the road.
Just you know, get a hold of us.
Yeah, because you know the this is not a nonprofit radio station. Mm-mm. Carl and Linda Pott are a real business, and they've given us a great opportunity.
Yeah,
and so we do our very best to pay the bill.
Yes, we do. And,
however, fundraising is not really our strong suit.
Yeah. So any way you want to help or get involved, let us know.
Absolutely.
So,
Bob, you have any hot tips for people? It's New Year's Day, for heaven's sakes. What are you giving up or starting? Or well,
hey,
what are you
resolution?
Starting that you're going to give up by the end of the day?
Oh, you know as well as I do. It's actually November, and I have no idea what I'm going to give up for 2012.
Oh, did we mention this was pre-recorded?
You know as well as I do. It's November.
Which reminds me, is there a tea party meeting on Monday, January 2nd?
Of course there is, because we meet no matter what.
All right, be there or be square.
Exactly.
There you go. We have no idea what we're doing, because it's way too far ahead.
Way too far ahead. We might be having a cow about something else.
Yes.
Because we're doing that tonight. Our first, we would do first annual, but I don't want to wait a year to do the next one.
No, no.
And the prize tonight is string cheese. It was the only cow product I could find that I could carry that wouldn't get all yucky. I really wanted...
Tonight, of course, being back in November.
Being back
yes,
in November.
If you want to do time
maybe
travel.
In January, we'll be doing it again, and I will mm-hmm. come up with better prizes.
See, we're doing...
So we'll let you know.
Doing Gotta Beef, bring your... or what? No, you got a beef, we're having a cow.
Yeah, 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 we're going to have a cow, so bring your beef.
And, you know, I think
it had a rural flavor to it, mm-hmm. no pun intended. And, you know, there just are so many things to have a beef about, seriously. People call all the time. I got this problem, mm-hmm. that problem, the other problem. So it's like, all right, let's compartmentalize and then let's go after it. Plus, it's an election year. And so the people that are running for office, let's face facts. We need, I'm going to say this qualified, we need higher standards. And I don't mean that the people we have in office are bad. What I mean is we need to pay attention to what it is they know and do and can do for us as our elected officials, because we have to elect the right people for the right job. And, like, I think until recently, most people didn't know how important, say, a sheriff was, for instance. That's a ballot people cast very lightly. You know, they focus hard on a presidential year, and obviously this year there would be a huge opportunity to make changes there. But Board of Supervisors, huge, huge weight on all of our lives, whether you live in the city or the county, which I guess segues right back to where we left you, Oscar. Did you really run for... Oh, actually, okay, hold on. We should tread back again.
Yeah. Oscar Braun.
Yeah, and Joe Shaughnessy.
And Joe Shaughnessy.
We've hijacked them on their way through Reading.
They are...
Just passing through.
Just passing through.
They're from San Mateo County, and Oscar and Joe are putting an initiative together to get on the November 2012 ballot to eliminate the environmental agencies and the regulations. And Joe and Oscar have been filling us in on what brought them to this point. You know, the battles that they've been fighting on their own, which made them say, I've had enough.
Which means they could be in prison by the time you hear this.
That's an excellent point, because it is only November 28th. I say we make an early New Year's resolution to keep them out, get a really lot of signatures, so by the time this airs, we'll be able to put a little caveat in the next show to say that, you know, 800,000 signatures is just a drop in the bucket compared mm-hmm. to what we're going to get, because people have had it mm-hmm. with all this stuff.
I totally agree with you on that.
You decided not to run for Board of Supervisors when you were asked, but instead actually got involved at a different level.
I did. The power base, as I said, it was Dolores Mullins from the Growers, and we had great support from the Farm Bureau and the various rural organizations and, you know, the Good Fellows. I mean, it goes on and on. We have the IDEA, IDES Hall and the Knights of Columbus. So these very traditional, a lot of them faith community-based organizations. We have a large Portuguese community there, and, of course, Hispanic over the last 25, 30 years. But Portuguese goes back much, much, much longer. And farming and fishing, because out of the port of Half Moon Bay was quite a, at one time, quite a, you know, an active fishing village. So anyway, the setting is that we're in 1994, and just when I thought that I would be able to spend all my time and just, you know, developing this ranch, it was the first time I'd ever.
You were retired.
And I was retired. Well, I was retired other than the consulting,
mm-hmm.
And I had formed and
paid your dues.
Paid my dues, and the Johnson & Johnson was paying me a large sum of money to just exclusively consult for them. I couldn't consult for anybody else in the healthcare industry, so it was them. And like I say, it was a minimal time commitment. I think it was 30 days a year was what I had to give them. I could give them more, you know. But so I was, you know, I could focus and I could fulfill my life's dream and my brother's. And it just couldn't have been. My wife is a family dentist. She's in private practice in Menlo Park. So she was building on her practice. And I was in hog heaven out on the coast. Anyway, this Coastside Protection Initiative of 1994 was being pushed by the Sierra Club. And again, the big threat was they're talking about bringing more water to the coast.
And that brings up the point that, you know, why these water battles are so critical, because water's pretty much everything.
It's everything in California. And that's why the Political Action Committee that is sponsoring this initiative is the Water for Fighting PAC.
Exactly.
And I know that many of you out there listening, especially in, you know, rural parts of the state, they know this, but
we know that whiskey is for drinking, right, Joe? Didn't we start the show with that?
Exactly. That Jameson was fantastic.
Absolutely. I'm kind of a Bushmills fan, but I can bleed over into Crown Royal there any minute. But yeah, whiskey's for drinking, and water is for fighting.
Right. Purportedly, Mark Twain's the one that coined that phrase. So the power structure in the county was getting aged and dying. And over the next, I'd say by 97, 98, Dolores passed away, and the leaders and these other rural organizations literally passed. And so there I was. But so a big change that involved and got us onto the path on how the California Watershed Posse was formed came in 1995. I had gotten into kind of jumping back in 1970 when I first got into the healthcare industry, and I was traveling all over the United States and all over the world for the next 20 years. And one of my territories, I kind of say this in a whiny kind of a way, but I had to go to the Hawaiian Islands about every six.
Oh, my sister-in-law works for Bristol-Myers Squibb, yeah, and she has to go to Hawaii once a month, too.
How about it? Yeah.
She's just hating it. She was talking about that at Thanksgiving.
There is so much to do there, and it's not easy. Anyway, so.
And they're so rushed all the time.
That's it. That's exactly right. And so in my second trip there, and I got the managerial promotion. I learned how to dive. I took a scuba diving course, and I became a intro diver. And it was just love at first opportunity. I mean, I've never felt more in peace, frankly, with our Lord, as when I'm underwater. And over the years,
isn't that kind of a water? It's like a waterboarding
this
story.
This is all about.
Yeah. You know, it's a Guantanamo Bay story.
I had my palm read in a banyan tree on Waikiki Boulevard, in which the lady says to me that your life will be influenced by the water sign. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, whatever that means. You know, I mean,
he's like, I better go get some puka beads.
Yeah. So anyway, I over the years, I went through and I became an instructor and a research diver, and I do all the gases, and I have over 5,200 hours at depth all over the world. So So now we get to 1990.
You're kind of obsessive compulsive, aren't you?
I am.
I see a thread here.
In 1995, I launched the first international dive exchange on the World Wide Web called Oscar Knows. And Oscar Knows is Oscar knows everything about diving. And it was also the name of my consulting firm with Johnson & Johnson. So, and I was attending a meeting of our trade industry, which is called DEMA, the Dive Equipment Marketing Association, in 1995. And the keynote speaker was Secretary Brown in the Clinton administration, the Secretary of Commerce. And he approached me and he said, listen, we would like to have you head up the support of the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, which was founded in 92. And we've asked the association to support the National Sanctuary Program. And there's two sanctuaries right off our coast. There's the Gulf of the Farallon Sanctuary and the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, which is the largest in the nation. It goes from the southern tip of San Francisco Peninsula all the way down to Cambria. So it's about 5,000 square miles.
Holy cow.
And it includes
not only
the waters, it's the 12-mile limit, but also the watersheds down the entire coast there. So a huge reach from the federal government, and it's administered by NOAA.
Oh, I love them.
So you're
two whales and a sea monkey, and you can just let them run, huh?
So,
sea monkeys are real, by the way. Hey, we got to take a quick 2-minute break here on that sea monkey note, and we'll come back and hear the rest of the story, because now we're into NOAA. Ugh, I'm going to have a little tantrum. Here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
They're walking on the fighting side of me, running down a way of life our fighting men have fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down our country horse, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Of Chicago. I love that song. I love that song.
The Doobie Brothers.
Sorry about that.
What
sorry
the
about
heck?
That. Doobie Brothers.
We're going to take away your Carmen Miranda hat just for that.
There you go.
What a Fool Believes, dedicated to the environmental community.
There you go. Nicely put, Aaron. Okay, welcome
I think
back.
Bob said it, though.
Yeah,
Bob
but not
it.
Quite as nice as you did.
Bob didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
So I said it for Bob.
He said it a little differently.
Oh, hey. I like it when Bob doesn't have a microphone. Say whatever we want. He's over there in the silence.
Welcome back to the people. We are with Oscar and Joe.
And we've got to throw out a couple of websites.
In case you want to follow along while Oscar's giving us the history as he turns from local to national activist.
Unbeknownst to me, that's true.
Hit them with the websites, Oscar.
The two websites that you can find out a great deal about our organizations, and I should say our organization and our initiative. First of all is the California Watershed Posse website. Is CW Posse, that's POSSE .org. And that's a 501c3 community-based nonprofit organization. And the initiative, we've created a totally different site because it's obviously involved in politics, and you're not allowed to be a nonprofit 501c3 and maintain your tax exemption if you get involved in politics. Government doesn't like that. And so we formed a PAC last year, and the PAC is called a Water for Fighting PAC. And there's actually mirror sites. So you could go to waterforfighting.org, and that's F-O-R, by the way. Or you can go to CABillofRights.org.
Now, just
take you to the same place, okay. But it's just that's dedicated totally to this initiative, and you know, getting it the petition circulated. You can get the petition downloaded there, and find out all about the background of this initiative. So, background for the organization in which Joe and I are the heads, and what we do. That's our day job, and that's CWPosse.org.
And okay. And can I read the initiative? You know, we've touched on it lightly, but...
And then I would say, I don't know, can you?
I can read. Because I did not graduate from the public school system of late.
Because you're old?
Yes. I got out of the public school system when we were still being taught to read and write.
You might...
We got out of public school. Oh, no, we didn't. Because all the bad environmental regs started in 1970 when we were still in elementary school. We're not that old.
Mm. Okay, so elimination of environmental protection laws and agencies initiative, constitutional amendment and statute, repeals the California Environmental Quality Act, which is CEQA, the California Coastal Act, the California Endangered Species Act, California Global Warming Solutions Act, and California Sustainable Communities and Climate Protection Act, abolishes the California Environmental Protection Agency and Air Resources Board, establishes new inalienable rights to produce, distribute, use, and consume air, go figure, that's not in there, I added that, carbon dioxide, water, food, Habitat for Humanity, universal heal thyself care, and energy-generating natural resources, grants California's the individual right to nullify all federal powers not specifically delegated to the United States by the federal Constitution. Fiscal impact. Here's the best part. It is the opinion of the legislative analyst and director of finance that the measure would most likely result in a substantial net change in state or local finances if adopted.
Yeah, they'd have a lot less money to waste.
We'd go back in the black.
Well, they would just have less money to waste.
So, there you go.
Super.
There it is in a nutshell.
That was the title and summary that you read.
Yes.
And then there's the text to the initiative itself. I think what is going to provide a little more clarity, though, is... what the legislative analyst's office said. Now, the way the process works is that you submit your language to the initiative to the Attorney General's office. And the first thing he does before he does anything is he just sends it over to the legislative analyst's office. And he gives them 25 days, doesn't really have a choice, and he says, crunch the numbers on this, what's this mean? And they, you know, have to get to him within that, before the end of those 25 days, what the fiscal impact would be. And then the AG has additional 15 days to do his title and summary, or her title and summary. It can be only 100 words. And then, bam, it goes from the Attorney General's office to the Secretary of State's office. She gives you a number. She says, go. You have 150 days. This is the second year of the initiative, and the language this year is I'm thrilled with. Seriously, I'm thrilled with. Last year, Attorney General Jerry Brown wrote a title and summary that was, you couldn't understand it. And, you know, I've got about a year's worth of editing and writing, and I couldn't understand my own. I said, oh, my gosh. I don't even
know. Do you remember what it was?
I could get you a copy of it. I don't think I have a copy with me. But I mean,
curious.
But I can send you a copy from last year. Anyway... The analyst says something which is spot on, which what I'm saying is that he is representing to this. So for instance, the title that you've heard, the title that the AG gave, but this is what this initiative is about, is the initiative measure related to the unalienable natural rights of Californians. Well, unalienable, those are the rights that are endowed upon us,
by
all
our creator.
Humanity, by our creator. You know, the good Lord himself.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got them. And this initiative was influenced by a lot of various books. But there was one book that provided me a great deal of help. And I want everybody from age 12 on to read. And it's called Whatever Happened to Penny Candy.
Oh, that's nice.
Whatever Happened, that's one of them. And the other one is Whatever Happened to Justice. Okay,
mm.
And
written by
Richard Mayberry, a former school teacher.
Whatever happened to Mayberry?
Yeah, really.
He's still alive and well, and I think he's left the country. The books are published here in California, up in the Sierras, I want to say around Truckee. But the books, Whatever Happened to Justice, Whatever Happened to Penny Candy, will tell you all about economics, and Whatever Happened to Justice will all tell you about natural law. And what Mayberry's thesis is that there are two types of law. There's natural law, that which evolves, that which we were all born with, that makes itself self-evident. And then there's political law. So that which humanity just inherits, and you know, it's what we say it is, and then it's political law, which is written by man, or congresses, or Putin takes, or dictators, whatever the case may be, you know, community organizers and that. Anyway, so that is what this is really about. This initiative is about our unalienable rights. Well, most people don't know, including myself up until a few years ago, that the Ninth Amendment of our U.S. Constitution, the Ninth Amendment of our Bill of Rights, is about the unalienable rights. And it says the following. In the Bill of Rights, by the way, the First through the Eighth Amendment are unalienable rights that have been enumerated. We've listed them. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, right to bear arms, etc. They got to eight, and they said, "Look, this is so arduous. We have all the power to govern ourselves because that's the way, you know, our Creator worked out. And this country is based on us ruling ourselves." So the Ninth Amendment says, "All those unenumerated, all those rights that we the people have, that aren't listed here, still have the same weight and authority as those that are listed." Okay? So the power lies with us. And the Tenth Amendment says that the people, through the states, have granted the federal government limited powers. And we've enumerated just exactly what those powers are, what the authority is of the federal government. And they're all under Article 1, Section 8 in the U.S. Constitution. This initiative embeds into amends our California Constitution. It's the first time it's ever been done in our nation's history, the Ninth and Tenth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And we'll explain just exactly what that means after the break.
Very good.
Watch that segue.
Nice.
People are like, wow, this is a lot better than when they have people on the phone, because when people are on the phone, we're like, hey, shut up, we got to take a break. So we need to thank our advertisers, and we really appreciate them, even though we do not necessarily share their opinions.
Here we go.
I love the music. Okay, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
And I was really tempted to, like, continue on with that train of thought with some other words, but I think I'll be politically correct just a little. But that was awesome.
Anyone?
Was a screw. Yeah. Anybody want to jump in on that one? Okay. Oscar, we got, 20, 25 minutes? So you want to run with it?
We'll do the best I can.
We'll do the best I can. Interesting.
Well, I probably should have just said this earlier, but...
Yes.
Joe and I have an understanding.
Yeah?
As long as things are going smooth.
Joe has to remain mute?
No. Yeah.
Fight back, Joe.
But if somehow I should have, you know, one of those little brain freezes or this and that and the other, or I say something.
CRS?
Yeah. Inappropriate. Yeah. Joe
is Governor Perry. I'm right behind you.
Joe is the dedicated. Joe is the dedicated, as my father would say.
He was cleaner upper.
Yeah, no, he's Pagapeo, which means scapegoat. Joe, he's the communications director for the foundation. You know,
I like
Fosse,
it.
So
nice.
Joe, I mean, according to Joe, it was Joe that told me that.
I prefer to think of myself as the quiet, brainy guy behind the whole scene.
Well, it sounds so much better than fall guy.
Yeah. Truth be known, that's the case.
Joe has a box of pencils. Joe has a box of pencils, not all of which are sharp. He sharpens them one at a time. Joe is from another era.
Joe's redeeming qualities is not only is he Irish, but he is truly the wordsmith for the organization. So he does write the better part of what comes out of my mouth.
And the pencils.
Yeah.
I saw him take out that box of pencils. I was like, it doesn't really fit right now, but I really want to talk about that. I'm so glad we could work that in. It's really been bothering me. I was like, do they still make pencils?
That's
awesome.
It is. It's very cool.
So I thought I'd
number
jump
two.
In there.
Sorry, Oscar.
And,
box and number
we
two.
Are,
minutes.
We are going to review the legislative analyst analysis. So
sing it, sister.
He has said that what this initiative is about is related to our unalienable natural rights of all Californians.
Bad joke.
And I'm going to skip over the first couple of sentences. This is a very brief paragraph, and you'll find this online at cabillofrights.org, and you'll see it says right there. Let me tell you, there is the third link. It says Legislative Analyst Office Opinion Related to Unalienable Natural Rights of Californians. Okay, so.
And just a quick side note, you don't have to write down the websites. They'll be on wethepeopleradio.us on the media page.
And you can all remember that, cabillofrights.org. And if you can't, go to the We the People.
If you can't, then you better hope God still gives you your rights and that we take care of them for you.
You see what happens when you don't follow the doctor's explanations and instructions to take your medication, you know, go off.
Is that where Joe has to fill in?
Well, we don't want to go there.
Oh, I thought we already did.
I promised him I wouldn't rub it in. Anyway,
wasn't on the directions.
Let us get down to the nitty gritty
of
what the best brains over the Legislative Analyst Office have come up with. And they say this measure purports to place fundamental limitations on the state's authority to make laws. You got to like that.
Fundamental and limitation and state all in the same sentence is a good thing.
Yeah. Administer programs and regulations. Now, this, to me, seriously, is the most important because he hits it right on the head. And you got to think about this. And the more you think about it, the more hopefully you'll like it as much as I do. And raise revenues pertaining to the use. I'm going to say that again. You know, and raise revenues pertaining to the use of air, water, land, and other natural resources in the state. Now, let's go back to the Declaration of Independence, and we all hopefully remember from childhood that the most famous sentence in there is that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Amongst these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that's something our government hasn't been able to take away from it because it comes from a higher law, the natural law, the laws of nature and nature's God. Well, what they've done over the years, in which they have no constitutional authority to do, and say, you have the right to life, but you know what? We're going to control and tell you how much you can use. Well, air, you know.
Yeah, and that whole pursuit thing, we're going to slow that to a crawl.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that you do constantly, you know, exhale. Well, that's adding to your carbon footprint. You see, that's CO2. That's CO2 and water, and the habitat for humanity. These are all things that we need to control, and all natural resources. So again, the legislative analyst says, well, you know, these folks are trying to control that, and he got it right. To raise revenues, to prohibit them, actually forbid them, to raise revenues pertaining to the use of air, water, land, and natural resources within the state. If this initiative is passed, that would mean that California and California alone, but I got a feeling we would lead the nation. The other states would follow quickly. We would instill in the Ninth Amendment, again, what's the Ninth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution? It's about all those unlisted, unalienable rights. In fact, we've got so many of them that, you know, we just can't possibly list them. Well, California, you know, under the stewardship of, you know, Governor Brown, we've got no choice but we've got to list these. Otherwise, they're going to destroy us, destroy our state, and destroy our communities, and destroy our, steal our unalienable rights. So there would be no more controls on, let's say, our water rights. No more tearing down at dams, whether it be Klamath or in my ranch's front yard. They took down two dams in 2001, and our water dropped. And we couldn't do any more agriculture. And we have now fallen over the last few years below the minimum requirements under the local coastal program, Coastal Act. Mm. And my wife and I had been there for 20 years, and we have prevailed in multiple lawsuits. We had the County of San Mateo in three federal lawsuits in district court that expanded from 2002 to 2009, and it bankrupted us. We spent in excess of $3.5 million, and at the end of the day, we won, and we got our permits back on January the 27th, 2009. But as we sit here today, we are in Chapter 11, and the good news is that we've got a recovery plan, and I fully expect to someday pass while looking down at the city of Half Moon Bay. But this can be throughout the state. They've taken the water rights away from our ranchers, from our farmers, from our just our average citizens that have had the audacity to build a home on their land. And also with this initiative, they can't tell you how to use your land. You know, it just, that's again, why? Well, because it's our unalienable right and we've listed it. And they don't have, the state doesn't have, will not have the authority in which to do that. States only provide you, governments only provide you inalienable rights. And when you're on the website, cabillofrights.org, the second link is request for title and summary letter to the California Attorney General. That is actually a copy of the letter that we sent to the Attorney General that had the text. But at the bottom of the text that was published by the Attorney General, there is a couple of paragraphs there that list the definitions of the language in which we use, which I use, in order for this initiative. And the definitions come right out of the dictionary, and they were used by our founding fathers at the time of, you know, the meaning of unalienable versus
speaking,
inalienable.
And if I can interject for just a second.
You're thinking what I'm thinking, aren't you?
Yeah. The dictionary was not originally created to teach people how to spell. The dictionary, the first dictionary by Daniel Webster, was created so that it prohibited people from changing the wording in the Constitution.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
It's like, hey, that kind of comes back into play again.
Well, language has meaning, and so that's correct. So you can go through, and you cannot have life without water, or obviously air.
And your property is worthless
and
without
and
water.
And your property is worth without water. So then if you go into the first two sections of the initiative language, A and B, and I'm going to read those very quickly because we're going to...
Bob's giving us the high sign.
We're giving the high sign. But here's some section A. We, the people, still hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights from conception to natural death, and that these are life, liberty, acquiring, possessing, protecting, property, and pursuing and obtaining safety, happiness, and privacy from government. And B is, the state of California shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of the people's unalienable natural rights to life, or abridging the people's unalienable natural rights to life, liberty, production, distribution, use, consumption of air, carbon dioxide, water, food, habitat for humanity, universal heal thyself care, goodbye Obamacare, and energy-generating natural resources. So we are going to once and for all, that's right, we're going to protect our hydroelectric dams, we're going to protect all our water, and we're not going to tear it down because some subspecies that the federal government's going to try to, you know, turn into as an indigenous species, which they're not. And I'm referring to the coho salmon up here in the Klamath.
Yeah, that you can get in Costco.
Yeah, in
the frozen food. Still, I'm still bitter about that. Mm-hmm. So while I exercise my bitterness, take a two-minute break here. We'll be right back with you on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
CSI?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I love this music.
CSI Miami.
That is not who you're tuning into. However, you are tuning into We the People Radio.
It might be CSI Miami. You don't know.
And Oscar has 11 minutes now, and we're not going to steal any of them.
We're sorry, Oscar.
Okay, go for it, Oscar.
Did you like that? Did you like that blame at the end?
I was just about to have a Governor Perry moment there. But no time for that.
I've got one, I've got two.
Okay, so I'm going to read to you now the text that really comes right off the initiative, and this is regarding the Ninth Amendment. It's all about unalienable rights. I've taken that Ninth Amendment in the U.S. Constitution, and then I've embellished it a little bit because we're Californians. We deserve to.
And you're an embellisher.
And we are an embellisher. And you know what? I figure, you know, you're going to enumerate it. You might as well just, you know, get it all out. Get it all out because these guys are not going to try to give you a second bite of this apple. So here's the language. And again, you can find this at cabillofrights.org to read yourself. It's number E. The enumeration in the California Constitution of certain unalienable natural rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage other retained unalienable natural rights by the people of California. The Ninth Amendment of the United States Constitution prohibits the federal government from violating or infringing upon rights not specifically enumerated in the Constitution and reserve to the people of California certain rights as they were understood at the time California was admitted to statehood, including amendments. That's back in 1846, folks. The guarantee of those rights is a matter of contract between the people of California and the state of California and the United States. And as of the time that compact with the United States was agreed upon and adopted by California and the United States. So that will be with your support and our Creator's great intervention, the Ninth Amendment amended into our California Constitution. Let's go to the last portion of this, which is F. Paragraph F, and this is our customized Californian Tenth Amendment, and it says the following: the people of California individually shall have the unalienable natural right to nullify federal powers not specifically delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states of California or the people. The Tenth Amendment of the United States Constitution defines the total scope of federal powers as being that which has been delegated by the people of the several states to the federal government, and all powers not delegated to the federal government in the Constitution of the United States is reserved to the states, respectively, or the people themselves. Powers reserved to the people and the state of California are those powers as they are understood at the time that California was admitted to statehood, excluding amendments. The reservation of those powers is a matter of contract between the state and the people of California and the United States as of the time that the compact with the United States was agreed upon and adopted by the California and the United States. So there you have it, folks. It will truly resecure, because this will be the second time that it's been done since our founding fathers did this back in 1787. So we got a couple of hundred years out of it, but over the last 40 years, since 1970, that has been greatly eroded, not only here in California, but of course across the nation. But we can lead our nation in establishing the 9th and 10th Amendment into our state constitutions, and we, the people, will determine just exactly how much government that we want at every level, including locally.
I was just thinking, we sit at this interesting crossroads, mm-hmm. because on the one hand, we've enacted these stupid global warming laws, you know, with the California cap and trade bill at
8032. And that would begin January 1st.
That begins January 1st.
About 33 days from now.
So we're going to change all the air in the whole world because we're going to kill all the businesses in California, take away all the cars, and, you know, do all this craziness. Or we're going to run this initiative, and we're going to go back to normal town, you know, where mm-hmm. we start to make sense and we recover our resources and we recover our ability
absolutely
to make our state great again.
Mm-hmm. You know, the big question
precipice
in which usually comes out, and this is actually our first interview since the initiative has been released, so we're just thrilled to be here and having
Wonderful.
We the People Radio, you know, and
your maiden voyage.
You two are such a kick of that. That's the good news. The bad news is we'll be back over and over and over again, you know.
He'll be calling in.
You know.
So I don't want to get off track.
We like it.
Yeah.
I don't want to get off track here because we don't have much time left. So tell me, would Dianne Feinstein be leaving the seat warm for you?
That is my hope. I have, with my wife's permission, mm-hmm. in fact, she's downright prodded me, have decided that I will be running for the U.S. Senate against Senator Feinstein, who I don't think is going to step down graciously and retire and do the right thing.
I think some of those folks are just going to go out in a box.
Well, it could.
Did
you hear that this today? And of course, we are still in November.
Attack watch.
Totally attack watch.
That Barney Frank is not running. He's not going to run for re-election.
Yeah,
and, you know. But
he's
like
the 17th Democrat to give up the ghost.
The Senator Feinstein.
What do they know? That
has
we don't
had
don't
a,
be smart,
a long, long run in politics in California.
I always look at somebody like her. And I'm like, don't you need to retire? Is there anything else you'd like to do with your life?
No, she got an extra incentive to retire because her campaign finance chair embezzled a gazillion dollars.
Took some of her money.
Mm. Here comes Joe.
Boo-hoo,
do it, Joe.
Boo-hoo.
There's still lots of scars to buy in Georgetown. She's not going anywhere until Oscar gets there.
I'm a registered. Nice. I'm a registered conservative Republican, and last week I contacted the state chairman of the Central Committees, Republican Central Committees throughout the state, asking them to provide me with all the contact information. And so I wanted to be vetted statewide by the GOP. And I was also, as we were driving up, literally this morning from Half Moon Bay, was contacted by a gentleman that was with Senator DeMint's office. So they're going to vet us for the conservative senatorial committee that
nice.
We got there.
Nice.
It just, you know.
Goodbye, Dianne.
I figured, and this is my wife's logic, you know, I said, it'd be kind of fun. And I said, no, I don't think I should do it. She said, you're nuts. You're going to be traveling all over the state and this and that and the other, you know. You mean you can't, you know, talk about that too? And I said,
I said,
I'll do it under one condition. And that condition is that the people understand that my platform is this initiative. And it is far more important.
It's a big one.
For everybody to secure their unalienable rights than, frankly, to elect anybody, including mm-hmm. me, to the Senate. But I would be honored if that's something that the Californians want also.
Well, and everything falls under this.
Well, it'd be kind of exciting, too, to actually look up the vote on different bills, because right now you don't even have to look it up. You already know what the vote was.
There's such a huge difference between her and I. I mean, first of all, she is very anti and always has been. You know, Second Amendment, the right to bear arms.
Except she has a concealed weapons permit.
She has a concealed weapons permit, which is something that we have in common.
It's that do as
and,
I say and not as
and,
I do.
And I just, you know, it is. I would do whatever I could in representing California in the Senate to see that frankly we have the right to bear arms. All those non-felons and everybody that passed the test, they should have the right to, you know, protect themselves, just as Senator Feinstein and myself has. Okay, we can't be part of that very extremely exclusive club that if you're well connected, and I have a wonderful relationship with our former sheriff there in San Mateo County and our current sheriff, and we've worked very closely with the sheriff's department and the Office of Emergency Services.
I just thought of something. If you get into Congress, you can do insider trading.
You know what?
So that's like one of the bonuses.
As broke as I've been in trying to get this far, you know, I could use a couple of breaks, you know.
That is
those IPOs, you know. You know, I like to be on some, you know, maybe healthcare, something like that, you know, pick up a little jing, you know.
Oh, I'm not sorry. Too much.
Let me take those calls for you, Oscar.
Are we still on mic? The show's still on.
But I think there's a lot of opportunities there. And as I travel around, I mean, and today's been a good example. Could be an awful lot of great ideas in which they'd like to have a voice for.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be a great counterbalance, if you like, when I look over to the senior senator from California, of course, would be Barbara Boxer, and I'll be the junior senator, which I kind of like that.
Yeah, you know, that's fun.
That mantle, too.
There, she'll just be the senior moment,
you know, I'll
senator.
I'll be the new kid on the block.
Dipsy
and
Doodle.
And incorrigible and, you know, and very difficult to work with. But
nice. Yeah. We're coming to visit. You know, we're booking our flights now.
And I'll never cross the aisle. And there's one thing that I don't believe in compromising.
You stay on your side of the tape.
It was the way I was raised, and that is, you know, you never compromise on your principles. And the oath of office for Senate or any office that we take is we swear allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. We don't swear to be a Republican or a Democrat.
And the Constitution swears allegiance to the people.
That's correct. Because it's all about the people, because...
What a nice little package we've just created.
The only nation in history that has been created where the people govern themselves. And we can't do any better. And everything that I've written here is plagiarized from Thomas Jefferson and a couple of the other guys that you may or may not have heard of. So,
all right, thanks, fellas, for kicking off the new year with us.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for having us.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Have a great one.
Stick to your resolution at least through the end of the day.
Keep your seatbelts on.
Goodbye,
it's going to be a busy one.
Do you have any of that Velveeta cheese over from last night?
Cheese Whiz. Big fans.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.